Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here with another Panther Rants podcast. This is take two of the podcast I'm doing because I just had a nice one going, and of course, I had a phone call interrupt me, and well, it killed my podcast. That's what, you know, that's the risk you take when you record on your iPhone. You know. I don't have my own studio. My car is my studio. So, yeah, I disregard the call, and naturally it froze the app, and whatever I recorded, well, it's gone. Which is good, because, you know, I was rambling for about a good 20-30 minutes. And I now get to condense this down to a smaller podcast. So I can dig that. Anyways, guys, it's Thursday, almost to the weekend. I hope you guys are staying warm, not dealing with as much snow. And of course, it's bumper to bumper traffic here in Houston, as always. Well, you know, for you Pittsburgh people, it could be worse. Amazon could be there and ruining your lives. You know, I'm sure bringing Amazon into Pittsburgh would have been great, but of course, Amazon was just using the little small towns just to finesse the bigger cities. And I'm sure you know, Pittsburgh would have loved to have Amazon for bragging rights, but it would have done nothing probably for the people there, but just made your lives miserable. You don't need increased traffic. I mean, I live down here, and shit, we have all kind of interstates and toll roads, and it still doesn't really accommodate the people living here. So Pittsburgh, you know, just appreciate what you have, and how you have a city that's growing, you know, slowly, and that's really what you want at this point. You know, unless all the steel mills open up, like someone promised. Which is kind of funny because Edgar Thompson's closed. Well, no, that's not closed, it's open. The Cary Furnace is closed, and I don't think you can really bring that back up. I mean, you'd have to really renovate the hell out of that to get that going. The U.S. Steel Homestead Works is now a shopping center. A big ass one at that. And of course, there's movies, entertainment, all kind of crap there. And of course, the Jones and Laughlin Works in the South Side in Hazelwood. Well, there's that one little big-ass warehouse in Hazelwood that's still there, but I think Carnegie Mellon uses it for their roboting thing. But everything else, I mean, where the Eliza Furnaces were by the Hot Metal Bridge. Well, the Hot Metal Bridge now is for Pittsburgh traffic, but the the Eliza Furnaces are gone, and that whole area, I think last time I looked, was still they're trying to make that in the parking lot, either parking lots or I think apartments, one of the two. But that whole area, I think, is still contaminated. Lord knows what the hell kind of minerals are running through that soil. So you have that. And the Duquesne Works is gone. The Dorothy 6 furnaces were the last of the Duquesne Works. And those things are gone. They took them down because they had asbestos, and, you know, that's just not a good thing to have. That Dorothy 6, they were up forever. They got torn down, I think, in 2006, I think. the new mayor, I guess the mayor of Duquesne tore them down. Probably a smart move on his part. Although I miss driving by Duquesne and seeing them up. I remember, going to Penn State McKee Sport, and pretty much all that stuff was still up. This was in 97. That entire mill was still up. It was idle, but all the stacks, everything was still there. But it gone now. So I'm not sure what we can, bring back, get the mills going. Maybe we can build another one. That would really piss off the environmentalists, wouldn't it, to build another mill in the middle of the city? Jesus. I mean, if there was any type of a proposal for that, I figure the mayor would have a heart attack. But anyways, I'll stop rambling about that. Alright guys, we got Penn Wake Forest. A lot of stuff on the line. We got the ACC Coastal's on the line, so if Pitt wins this, they can win the Coastal. Clinch a share of the ACC Conference title. Well, not really, but it's a great thing to say, though, that they want, that they're sharing their conference title. And technically they are, because the conference is two divisions. So Pitt wins the Coastal, Clemson wins the Atlantic, so they're both, they technically both, clinched a share of the title. And, this game is, the championship game really is just a tournament game. It's like basketball. December is like March Madness, so this is really just a tournament playoff seeding for Clemson. And for Pitt, determine what bowl game they're going to land in. So really, Pitt's already, they'll wrap up the ACC title here. I mean, hey, we won the conference, a share of it. Like I said, there's a lot to the calories you can do here. But, Pitt's obviously a lot, much different team than what they were at the beginning of the year. Which gets my next thing. Wake is 5-5. They have bowl implications on the line for this game. And so this is one of those typical games where Pitt would piss away. But I think this team's a little different. I think they're going to take care of business and get the hell out of Wake Forest. Get the hell out of Salem, wherever the hell, whatever hell Wake Forest is at. March in there, beat the shit out of them, and get out. Because they did that last week with Tech. They didn't piss around with Tech at all. They were up 31-7 at halftime. And that was that. And just when Tech, was starting to make a little comeback, Pitt said, "Oh no, nope, get the fuck, lay the fuck down, we got you." Excuse me. But as far as this game goes, Wake is allowing on defense over 2 yards rushing a game. So this really benefits Pitt, because if Wake's run defense is that bad, Pitt should have no problem establishing the running game off the bat. I'm sure we'll mix in Kenny Pickett as well, like we did last week. Because, what was good about that was we were running the ball so good that it opened up the passing game. And, of course, Kenny was hitting his receivers, and he looked a lot more confident back there. But let's not get too excited and roll him out like he's Marino at this point. I just remember when the Steelers had Tommy Maddox, and I remember how much different he was than Cordell Stewart in terms of throwing the football. And I remember Mike Mularkey, he got so excited with Maddox that he just loved throwing the ball with him. And Tommy, for the most part, was a mediocre quarterback, but he was a little better than Cordell as a quarterback. The only thing Cordell really had for him going was his legs, and that was it. I mean, Cordell, he wasn't a bad quarterback. It's just you had to really tinker the offense to his abilities, because he wasn't a pocket. I mean, he wasn't your traditional pocket passer. I think in today's NFL, Cordell would definitely thrive. Because the whole pro style thing is not what it used to be. I mean, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that come from different offenses, and you got, you know, corners now have to adjust what they do now to get the most out of what their quarterback. But yeah, I see Pitt. Pitt should have no problem with this, establishing the run. Once they do, I think they'll be fine. Defensively, Wake is not really good at pass protection. So if Pitt does what they did last week, it disrupts the hell out of them. We're looking at another lopsided victory. So I look for Pitt to win this game by 2 touchdowns. If Wake wins, it's going to be at least by a touchdown. We're probably going to piss it away. Wake is probably going to start a new guy quarterback, because they replaced a quarterback last week and they beat NC State. So we may see some different looks from this player. And when you don't have much game film on a new player, then you're at a disadvantage. So let's hope Pitt takes care of business. Anyways, off the other stuff. It's a lame weekend for college football for the most part. Penn State plays Rutgers, and for Rutgers, one of their guys, I guess, wrote some article about things you hear about James Franklin. And to be honest, I mean, I don't know why Rutgers is even talking trash at this point. I mean, you couldn't beat Penn State when they were bad. So why are you trash talking? Not to mention they're on the eve of hiring probably another coach, because obviously the Chris Ash era has been going pretty swimmingly. So I did read the article about, you know, this whole, you know, Rutgers, whoever it was trying to stir up shit. It's just a waste of time. It's Rutgers. You guys suck. Anyways, more to talk about. West Virginia has Oklahoma State this weekend, and Oklahoma State's not ranked, but they almost beat Oklahoma last week. So obviously West Virginia is not going to take this game too very lightly. And the game's at Oklahoma State, which makes it worse. But Mike Gundy's been on a little crusade as of late against Twitter and liberals and snowflakes and whatnot. I enjoyed his Twitter rant because he was, you know, he doesn't care about Twitter, and, you know, I get it. You shouldn't really get too revved up over Twitter, and he doesn't, and that's good for him. That's what he should be doing, not getting revved up over social media. But, and last week he ranted about snowflakes and liberals and entitlement and whatnot. I mean, the millennials obviously have taken some abuse for a good while now, and I don't know. I work with plenty of millennials, and they don't come off as the stereotypical ones you see in YouTube videos and what people post in memes and whatnot. But as far as entitlement goes, entitlement's taught at home, so has nothing to do with generations. It's the people, it's people raising these kids, is, you know, that's doing that. And as far as entitlement goes, I mean, that's entitlement's everywhere. I'm 39. Even my generation, just people my age that are entitled, that feel they're entitled. You know, you get people who've been in a job for like several years, like for a long time, and they feel they should get promoted because they've been there for so long. It's their turn. I mean, that's entitlement right there. because a lot of times a guy will get brought in, or, you know, or a girl that may be better than you at your job and what you do, and they'll get promoted for that reason, that they're just better. And, you know, I deal with it in my job as well, where, you know, I get people who have been there at their job for so long that they know everything and they don't really value your input. And I get that they've been with the company for so long, but I've been in this industry for over 20 years. So I've worked with different systems, different industries, different walks of life, and one thing I always learn is sometimes it doesn't hurt to listen to other people's input, because sometimes fresh ideas and a different set of eyes can always help you. But, you know, there's some people that don't see it that way. You know, I mean, I was in a job one time where I was promoted not even a year with the company, and all the long-time people that were there were pissed off at it. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's all about, you know, the quality of work I do and making sure I keep my standards high with what I do and not try to half-ass shit. But anyways, guys, yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. You know, as far as Gundy goes, there's plenty of coaches that leave when things get tough. And they just bail and they find a little landing spots. You know, Todd Graham obviously had so bad at Pitt that he had to leave after a year. And he did it by text message. So I guess Todd in some ways is a snowflake too. But Todd's not a millennial, so there's that. Mike obviously doesn't like the fact that players who obviously don't think they're going to see the field want to go somewhere where they're going to be utilized. God forbid. But I'm sure if a kid has maybe 3 or 4 years left of his college career, I'm sure he doesn't want to spend it sitting on a bench, or he has to go to practice and, you know, work hard, and you'll get playing time, and you may not even get playing time. Some kids just want to play. That's it. It doesn't matter where they go. But anyways, guys, enough of that. But as far as the rest of the weekend's concerned, there isn't really much to go on. I mean, Iowa State plays Texas. There's 2 ranked teams there. That's a night. Washington State and Arizona State's a night game, and Arizona's not even ranked. But someone's 5-5. I mean, after some bad losses, he's kind of recovered. But the Pac-12 stinks, and I like to see Mike Leach in the playoff, but I don't think that's going to happen because not a lot of people like Mike Leach. And I enjoy Mike because of his press conferences, and he's very entertaining. But there's one marquee matchup. There's Syracuse and Notre Dame, and it's 12th. I mean, look at this, guys. 12th ranked Syracuse and 3rd ranked Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame wins. Syracuse is going to give them a game, but I think, the NCAA probably is going to win Syracuse, and not Syracuse, Notre Dame in the college football playoff. So I'm sure they'll get hosed on a bunch of calls like Pitt did in their game. Although some of the stuff Pitt was also self-inflicted as well. But, you know, the refs gave some, you know, some nudging as well. But other than that, there's really not much else. I mean, it's a lame weekend of college football. I mean, LSU plays Rice. And Alabama plays Citadel. So that tells you pretty much everything you need to know. Yeah, it's a lame weekend. Duke plays Clemson, and you know, that's a big ACC matchup, but Duke will probably get pasted by Clemson. But yeah, it's a pretty... Now as we go for the rest of the games for the ACC, NC State plays Louisville, and NC State should take care of Louisville with no problem. But who knows? I mean, this could be different because Petrino is gone. And maybe a fresh coach will help these guys out. So, I'm not sure if you're betting in it. I would be wary about betting that game because you'll know how that's going to turn out. Because I remember when Miami was really bad and they fired out Golden right before Pitt played them. Miami came out a much different team and they beat us pretty bad. Whereas they kept out going, we would have beat them. North Carolina has Western Carolina, and I'm sure they should win that game with no problem. If they lose, well, then that loss to UNC is a lot bad for us. Boston College got Florida State, and BC should take care of business there. Florida State is not good. They're horrible. Virginia and Georgia Tech. I look for Tech to drill Virginia for over 5 yards rushing and win that one. And we're going to talk about Duke and Clemson. So that pretty much wraps up the college football weekend because there ain't dick else to talk about. It's just a lame weekend. And if you got, other than the pick game, if you got other things to do, this would be a great weekend to do it because there ain't nothing on. All right, let's get to some more stuff here. Le'Veon Bell, I guess he's done it for the season with the Steelers. I'm sure you guys have been tracking that and all the opinions. I got no issues with Le'Veon Bell doing what he's done. But, you know, there were some crazy takes where, you know, one person on Twitter, I guess some media person, said, oh, the fans feel betrayed and this and that. And I'm like, it's not really that deep with the fans because he's been gone all season. So the fans really don't feel betrayed at all. They expected his ass not to be there. And Le'Veon Bell's free to do what he wants. It's his payday, not ours. You know, it's his cash flow. It doesn't affect us one way or the other. Maybe in terms of buying jerseys or season tickets, because I'm sure if the Steelers gave him his money, the tickets would go up again. But as far as Le'Veon goes, people need to stop acting like this is like the workers, the steel workers, versus the Pinkertons and Clay Frick. I mean, it's none of that at all. It's a bunch of millionaires just fighting over money. You know, and also, you know, in a Bell's case, yeah, he feels he should get more money. And Steelers gave him a nice contract, and he didn't like it. He wants a lot more. He decided to eat it. I mean, there were some people I read they were scoring us a victory for the, you know, for the players, sticking it to the owners. Oh, it's not so much that much of a victory. I mean, it depends. I mean, does Le'Veon set an example for other players where they say, you know, if Le'Veon can eat a whole year's salary and, you know, save the wear and tear in his body, maybe I can do the same and, you know, get in the free agent market and, you know, get some more money. Get the money that I want, which is what he's hoping for. I mean, Le'Veon's going to get paid no matter where he goes. Will it be what he wants? Probably not, but it just depends on how much guaranteed money he gets. But I'm sure, yeah, there's probably some team who needs a running back. They'll be really drawn to make a deal with him. And it just depends on how much they're going to want to pay for him. Because I'm sure he's going to, you know, bargain. But he's gone, and that's just that. I mean, be done with it. And I'm sure the players were, I guess, were rummaging through his locker. And my guess is there was a lot of disconnect there between him and the players as well. Maybe it's probably for the best that he's gone, and he gets the team is obviously getting a fresh start with Connor and whoever else in the backfield, and maybe, you know, Le'Veon Bell needs to do the same, get a fresh start with a different team, because obviously there's something going on there that's bad. But anyways, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. Also, you know, Pitt Hoops is 3-0, big win over Troy. You saw some instances where their size is going to hurt them, but they hung tough and they won that game. Troy's been playing in some postseason tournaments. You know, they're no pushover. Pitt Women's, they lost to Youngstown State, and Youngstown State was like 16-16 last year and 11-7 in the Patriot League. So, Lance White obviously has his work cut out for him, and it happens. I just hope he keeps the same energy that he's had, and he doesn't start balding and ending up like Kevin Stallings at the end of the year. Which is another thing. Marcus Carr, I guess, transferred from Pitt. As we all know, he did not get his... basically, he didn't get immediate eligibility to play. And I guess his waiver got denied as well, so he has to sit out a year. And supposedly Minnesota was one of the teams that was recruiting him, you know, out of high school. And I guess the way the dots were connected, it doesn't seem like he really transferred for the reasons he specified. The reasons he specified was that he needed a fresh start out of Pitt because the situation was toxic with Kevin Stallings. I don't think the situation with Stallings in general was toxic because the players really loved him to a point where they were pissed off that he got fired. They were all united and they were looking at, and they all were seeking the transfer at one point. And all but two left. Well, actually, wait a second. All but two stayed, I mean. Parker Stewart left. He went to go play for his daddy. And Marcus Carr left. So I don't think the situation was toxic. Maybe from a fan's perspective, because the fans hated Kevin Stallings and wanted him to fail really bad. And the support was horrible to a point where, you know, the pit was empty. Maybe he means that. But things were going to get a hell of a lot better with Jeff Capel when he hired Capel, and it looked like it. But I guess, you know, the damage was done. And he went out of there. So, but he picked the school that was recruiting him out of high school, so I guess the way they see the ways connecting dots here, he's not really leaving for, you know, because of toxicity. He may be leaving for other things. Anyways, hopefully he gets an appeal. And hopefully gets to play soon. Oh well, guys, enjoy the rest of your week. Have a good weekend. Hell to Pitt.